or a new ride, find a deal that hits out of the park with Johnson & Sons.
This is locally grown radio. WFA.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Milwaukee is busy getting ready for the Republican National Convention. Peggy Williams-Smith is president and CEO of Visit Milwaukee. She tells the Milwaukee Press Club that hosting the RNC is already paying off beyond July's convention.
We will make an announcement very soon in August of an event that would have never considered Milwaukee without the expansion and knowing that we were hosting the RNC.
More than 50,000 people are expected to come. A ruling by the state Supreme Court on Monday leaves taxpayers to cover half of a $128,000 bill for the services of two redistricting experts. The consultants were hired earlier this year by the court to review potential new legislative maps. They said maps drawn by Republicans were gerrymandered, and the legislature passed maps drawn by Governor Evers in February. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
Brewers beat the Rangers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Brewers homestand continues tonight against the Texas Rangers. The crew with a 6-3 win over the Rangers last night. The difference maker, a grand slam home run in the sixth by Reese Hoskins. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
When guys are playing the right way, it excites you. And that's offense. And then Hoskins coming through. Hey, he's hit some balls hard, but I mean, he's been through a stretch. And I got emotional when he hit it because I'm just so freaking happy for him.
In San Francisco, it was Willie Mays night, the Giants all wearing the number 24 jersey, the Cubs blowing a 4-2 lead in the top of the ninth, allowing the Giants to tie up the game when Chicago reliever Drew Smyly threw a ball four with two outs, bases loaded, and walked in the Giants winning run. Cubs losing 5-4 on NBC with Sports on Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. For tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the low 60s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, high right around 80 degrees. And lots of sunshine on into Thursday, highs in the mid-70s. Shower and storm chances return to the area on Friday. Right now it's 76.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dr. Kristen Lierley joins us in the 11 o'clock hour. We're going to talk about all the ramifications 2 years after Dobbs. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, couldn't cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Native Concrete and Masonry, working together with clients to design, perform, create, and accomplish. Check out their work at nativeconcreteandmasonry.com or give Chuck a call at 612-597-0421.
Wow, sorry about that. I got so excited about our guest. I almost cut you off on that read. Hey, we have our friend, Ruth Buffalo, president and CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in Minneapolis. And it's always great to have a nice little conversation and check in with what's going on. Welcome, Ruth. How are you doing?
Good.
Cool. So, hey, we've got a lot of things going on, but I guess I can start off right away and just wish you a great greasy grass day here, a victory here that we talk about here on Native Roots Radio and all across Turtle Island.
Yes, thank you. Yep, my basic kids. It's a good day.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, one of the clearest stories that I've ever read about the Battle of Little Bighorn or Custer's Last Stand or however you want to put it, we like to put it the Battle of Greasy Grass Hill, is one of the best accounts that I've ever read is Black Elk Speaks. I don't know if you've ever read that book, but I've read that book many times and I have it on my phone, so if I take long walks, I can listen to the book too. It's just amazing what all the tribes did to pull together for that victory, and kind of, you know, with Standing Rock happening 7 years ago, that and starting the show, it was kind of like that was the largest Standing Rock meeting was the largest a gathering of Native tribes since the Battle of Greasy Grass.
Yes, for sure. It was quite historic. I remember watching a lot of the delegations come in. I have some of that footage too, I think, on through Snapchat, you know, like the tiny increment of videos. But some of those films and footage, you know, went viral because of the just capturing some of those moments. Like it was right as the sun, like dusk, you know, the sun was going down and seeing a delegation come in. It was powerful. And then it just brought you, I was going to say brought you back, but it definitely, I felt like it tapped, tapped heavily into our ancestral blood memory, just being there, standing along the entrance with all the different flags and seeing all the delegations was super powerful.
Yeah, from all over the world, there was flags from nations. I was there, and I think Australia, a tribe from Australia came in, and we had ceremony around the fire that was being kept, and it was an amazing time, and it really, it's funny, too. I did not realize this, and I'm kind of going off subject here, but, you know, representative from Brooklyn, she was there, and that's what spiked her career in politics. That I saw pictures of her at Standing Rock, and I was totally amazed.
Yeah, I remember seeing so many different people there. Like we helped contributed by bringing a basketball hoop, portable basketball hoop that was there till the end. But yeah, we saw so many different people there. I remember seeing the twins. That perform. I believe they're based out of Oklahoma, and I remember seeing them there that day when they had I don't want to mispronounce his name, but an artist who's MHA in Standing Rock, and I think maybe Cheyenne River as well. But it was the day they had those big tall mirrors, and people they were helping people to hold hands and then also hold those big tall narrow mirrors. But we were driving through camp, kind of bouncing around in one of my friend's car, and we passed the twins. They performed. They were actually out in Mandaree last summer for the 4th. But anyhow, we remember asking them, you know, hey, how's it going? When you guys, are you leaving soon? Or, you know, one, they simultaneously answered. One was like, yeah, we're going to be leaving soon. The other was like, no, we're going to be staying for a little bit longer. But yeah, I definitely saw a lot of people from all walks of life, and it was a super powerful moment that I'll never forget for sure.
Right. And I was thinking of AOC from New York that was there, and it was pretty amazing that, well, and it inspired this show too, because we went there many times and saw the lack of news that was coming out of there, accurate news especially, but any kind of, and I was there for Thanksgiving, and Jane Fonda was there, and then there was a couple other actors. There was this one woman actor that she'd been
Shailene
there.
Shailene Woodley?
Yeah.
Yeah.
that I had asked her if I could take a picture with her and Wendy, and then she put up her scarf and she said, and she shook her head yes. So, but it was funny. Everyone could recognize her from her eyes. It was pretty funny. And we have that one story. I don't know if you've ever heard this, Ruth, is that we were watching, they were going to Turtle Hill, and they built a bridge, and Wendy and I were going, we can't get arrested. We got our dogs with us, you know, and we had we rented an RV, blah, blah, blah. But you get caught up in the moment, you know, we're 100 yards away, and next thing you know, we're 50 yards away. And then the next thing you know, we're raising our fist and crossing the bridge. We got caught up in the excitement.
Yeah, for sure. We had many trips down there. I believe three of us were running for statewide office at the time, and the beginning of our campaigns. We were, I think the breaking of the ground where the bulldozing happened was actually up in Bismarck, co-presenting with one of my professors from the public health department at NDSU. And then I had some free time in between for a campaign event. So headed down there, and my mom sent me down there with vegetables, you know, from her garden. And back then it was early, in the early stages. And I remember going Facebook Live at one of those approaches and saying, you know, this was a human rights violation. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I remember seeing some of the people there in the earlier stages when the ground, the dirt was just being dug into on the sacred sites and burial areas. Right. So, but yeah, we brought our kids down there, camped out, brought the dogs, you know, throughout overtime. Yeah. And I was also a independent contractor with ACLU of North Dakota during the legislative session to keep the presence, I guess you could say, help the ACLU of North Dakota out while they're one worker was, you know, attending to the legislature, but we all ended up at the legislature anyhow, you know, to provide opposition testimony to a package of bills that were infringing upon your basic human rights, you know, right to assembly. They were even trying to pass a law at that time to make it legal to run over someone, you know, and
right.
It really deeply conflicted with our communities and how we have relatives who walk, you know, from community to community. And so, so important that we're in these spaces to provide insight that others, you know, might not otherwise see or, you know, help. We all have blind spots. And so it's good to be in those spaces to provide comprehensive lens.
Yeah, I'm going to end the segment. We're here with Ruth Buffalo, our friend from Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. And in all seriousness, helicopters and planes really freaked me out after the Standing Rock era. And you know what I mean, and we can talk about that. But I'd like to see what's going on with you and your organization, and we're glad to have you on. This is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Bonjour, hello. My name is Wabin. I am an enrolled member of the White Earth Nation, descendant of the Navajo Nation, and co-chair of the Indigenous Employee Resource Group with the Minnesota Department of Transportation. MnDOT is hiring for a variety of positions from road maintenance to accounting and more. We offer great benefits. For more information or to set up a one-on-one resume and application assistance, visit mn.gov/careers or you can text or call 612-257-2388. 612-257-2388.
As we emerge from the shadows of the pandemic, let us celebrate our resilience and embrace the path to a brighter future. While the COVID-19 emergency declaration may be over, our commitment to safety remains stronger than ever. We invite you to stand tall and protect what matters most, our health and the well-being of our loved ones and elders. The power to keep our community safe lies within each one of us. It's important to remember the basics when you're with someone who might be at risk of COVID complications. Wear your mask, wash your hands often, and take an at-home COVID test if you have any symptoms. We are a strong and interconnected community, and together we'll emerge from this challenge stronger than ever. Stay safe, stay healthy, and keep the spirit of our Native American culture thriving. Find more tips on continuing to be safe at health.state.mn.us. That's health.state.mn.us.
This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we're here with our friend Ruth Buffalo, who is the CEO at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in Minneapolis in the Twin Cities. And Ruth, we went off the deep end there talking first about Grassy Hill, and then I started reminiscing and I really want to know what's going on with you.
I know. Thank you for bringing me back. So I was like, oh, yeah, dang, I'm wearing this hat right now. Sorry.
I was thinking, what are we going to do with our chihuahuas if they arrest us? But that's my own cross to bear. But, hey, what's going on with your organization? And I always wanted to pitch how we can support this great organization that really does so much work in the Twin Cities and our Native community.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. As you may know, I started work with the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center on March 4th and have since hit the ground running, in like a dead sprint. No, I'm just kidding. Love the work, love the community, love the staff here. Everybody is amazing, and we have an amazing board as well. But yes, and great predecessors, and the founders who had the vision and the strength and courage to come together and put something in place for our future generations. So we have this huge, huge responsibility to make sure that we do the best we can to the best of our ability to help our most vulnerable relatives on the outside of this building, who need the most care and help and love possible. And so tonight we are hosting our first of many more community meetings to come. And so tonight at 5:30, in a few minutes here, we're going to be hosting a community meeting where we, just hope to provide community updates, program updates, sort of a meet and greet with the staff and the community, and other partners are welcome to attend. The community is welcome to attend. We have sandwiches and light refreshments, and you can donate always anytime at miwrc.org/donate.
Yeah, well, it's great to get the word out there about donating. And because I get asked a lot of times, how can we help? How can we help the Native community? And there you go. There's a way for everyone across Turtle Island that listens to our show to support Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center and Ruth Buffalo. So what else is going on? Maybe, what's happening? Any updates on what's happening? I know you're looking for workers, where people can find information about finding a job with you. Could you elaborate on that?
Sure. You can go to miwrc.org and then click on, the homepage. Of course, we'll encourage you to donate to help support our work and helping us help others. And then there's some different tabs on the top right-hand corner. There's an events tab that has all of our current events and calendar, of flyers for upcoming events. And then we have a careers tab that has our most up-to-date and recent job postings. We are looking for an executive assistant. We are also building a team of grant writer contractors, and then also some more contract work, and more specifically as a communications specialist, as a contractor. We have drop-in center support workers that have been hired and will start July 8th. So we had some in-house transfers too, so to fill other positions. We have our new JMO program, She Heals, is fully staffed now with a victim specialist and a sexual assault advocate and the director. Our family services is fully staffed with the exception of another staff member being added there in community education. But aside from that, in family services, we have two ICWA kinship workers, ICWA liaison, family spirit home visitor, and a life skills parenting worker, parenting skills worker. And then waiting to hire a foster care licensure worker. And then we have a learning center that provides training to the community, but mainly one beautiful training they host every year is the Native American training pertaining to substance use disorder. And it's really geared towards non-tribal providers or non-Native people who serve are at risk, or they say, I think they refer, the language they use is at risk, tribal population or Native population. And then we have our housing program. And so we're looking to expand because there's such a great need. But right now it's really stabilizing what programs we do have and then eventually looking to build upon those. But just really, really trying to stabilize what we do have, make sure that we maintain and retain our staff, retention, and, make sure that our staff have job security and that we don't lose anybody. So those are some of our top priorities right now, but just mainly really looking to stabilize what we have here in-house so that we can continue to keep our doors open seven generations ahead.
Well, it's amazing when you list the people that you're working for and that are looking for work and the positions that you filled, all the things that you do there. I just have a quick question. This must be kind of an exciting time to be in your position because of how it's growing and coming back. And that sounds really exciting to me when I hear what you're listing off, all these jobs and the things that you do.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I'm, you know, thankful to be in this meaningful role of giving back to our community and serving the most vulnerable among us who need assistance the most. Mm-hmm. And so it's, yeah, and there's sort of some parallels to like previous work. You know, I used to work at a tribal college where I led a wellness program and we used a comprehensive approach and did wellness plans for the entire campus community, including the students and staff. And so I had a lot of worksite wellness background as well as Tai Chi Easy and really incorporating our tribal values into everything we do and did, but making sure that we offered more than just basketball intramurals, you know, making sure we had something for everybody, you know, but, you know, beadwork, open drum, you know, just everything that we could provide as a good nurturing support system for our campus community. So I feel like there's some parallels. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful to get back to that kind of work and helping people live longer, because ultimately when we are well, we're going to live longer and live, we deserve to live a good, healthy life like the next person. And so that's kind of some things that come to mind.
Well, and we all know that you have a great heart, and what's exciting to have you in that position is that, you know, that old Paul Wellstone kind of mantra is when we do well, everybody does well. And that's what you guys do there is to make sure people are well in the community, and from whether it's trauma or things that have gone on or to housing and these things that are affecting us as Native people in a big way. And, you know, we were not homeless before 1492, and we like to bring that up every once in a while.
For sure. It's like the our basic human rights, our basic needs, in the public health world, they're referred to as like the social determinants of health, you know, like access to healthcare, shelter, you know, access to a house or shelter and food and safety. And I know on the international level, they're referring to them now as the indigenous determinants of health, you know, all rooted in our tribal values. But yeah, for sure. I mean, I used to teach health and wellness classes at the tribal college. And then, you know, the more we learned and dug into the disparities, you know, back then the buzzword was like food insecurity or food deserts. And then the overlap or intersection with tribal communities and the lack thereof of access, and then connecting the dots to policy. And then that's when I got, you know, entrenched into policy, where we were learning, you know, poor health is a result of poor policy. And then you look further, kind of peel back the layers and see, well, who's making these policies? Who's responsible for these policies? And are they reflective of the communities that they are making these policies on, you know, that directly impact the communities? Uh-huh. So yeah, just a lot of stuff there. But yes, it's definitely heart work. It's definitely prevention. A lot of what happens underneath the roof of MIWRC is so key to prevention of further tragedies, and especially MMIR, MMIP, so MMIW.
Yeah, definitely. I was at a meeting this week, and somebody said that there's 75 to 78,000 Native Americans living in the Twin Cities, and a lot of them, you know, don't want to be counting the census. So that number kind of floored me. But that's part of your clientele and people that your organization reaches out to.
For sure. And to that end, you know, hearing this stark, you know, striking statistics, like you mentioned, and the huge disparity in overdoses with opioids, and how I don't want to rattle off those statistics yet, because I'm still learning. I know Dr. Anthony Stately kind of rattles
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange pleads guilty to violating the U.S. Espionage Act and is now free. Reporter Anthony Lowenstein in Sydney.
It was always seen as an absurdity that an Australian citizen who does not hold American citizenship, who's barely spent any time in America, was able to be charged under the Espionage Act for practicing journalism.
CBS News has learned that eight people from Tajikistan were taken into custody in the U.S. earlier this month after the FBI uncovered that the individuals were in contact with bad actors with potential ties to ISIS and concerned that they could have been plotting a terrorist attack on U.S. soil. Floodwaters swamped parts of the Midwest, causing rivers to overflow in Iowa, South Dakota, and Minnesota. At least two deaths are being blamed on the storms. CBS's Tom Hansen has checked out Minnesota's Rapidan Dam.
Debris is blocking the water from passing through this more than 100-year-old dam the way that it should.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Summer is the season of travel. Jesse Funk, the Air Service and Business Development Manager of the Appleton International Airport, says food in airports is more expensive for a reason.
One thing that a lot of people don't understand is all of that food has to be screened by TSA. So there's additional costs involved with both the TSA and with the restaurant employees to get that through and be secure so there's nothing bad hiding in those boxes.
Almost a million travelers a year use the Appleton Airport for direct and connecting flights. Eight people in Wisconsin have won the right to hunt elk during this season. The winners were randomly selected from a pool of more than 25,000 applicants. Elk were killed off in Wisconsin in the 1880s. After two DNR restoration projects in 1995 and 2018, Wisconsin's elk population is big enough to handle regulated hunting. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Inside Out 2 has made $724 million worldwide in just 11 days. The Disney Pixar film just passed Dune 2 as the highest grossing film of the year so far and has given the summer box office major momentum as theaters prepare for other hopeful blockbusters like A Quiet Place Day 1, Deadpool and Wolverine, and Despicable Me 4. We'll see if the momentum keeps rolling. Scarlett Johansson would have been happy to have been eaten by a fake dinosaur, that is. The 39-year-old Oscar-nominated actress told ComicBook.com that she has wanted to be part of the Jurassic franchise forever and has now finally landed a starring role in Jurassic World. Johansson says the first Jurassic Park was one of the first films she ever saw in theaters and it changed her life. Johansson says she'd be willing to die in the first 5 minutes, get eaten by whatever, do craft services, and says she'll do anything for it. That's called not exactly giving your agent firepower at the negotiating table. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. For tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the low 60s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, high right around 80 degrees. And lots of sunshine on into Thursday, highs in the mid-70s. Shower and storm chances return to the area on Friday. Right now it's 73.
The big winners are in for the Scotty Summer Contest.
Exciting. Let's listen to the calls.
Hi, who's this?
This is Tori.
You're one of our grand prize winners.
All right, man. Great to be here this morning.
We got some good news for you.
Okay.
You are one of our grand prize winners.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome. Winning is fun. Just ask Tammy from Baraboo and Tori from Kewaunee. Thank you. That's great.
Listen for future chances to text and win on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Inc. radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Peter Jest, author of the book We Had Fun and Nobody Died, Adventures of a Milwaukee Music Promoter. We'll also talk about a summer blockbuster with the help of the late comedian Richard Jenny.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native Concrete and Masonry, working together with clients to design, perform, create, and accomplish. Check out their work at nativeconcretemasonry.com.
Hey, you know, I want to get back to wishing everybody a happy Juneteenth. And, you know, Haley, this is like the first holiday, U.S. holiday, that's illegal to teach in about 15 states. So,
yeah, I saw that.
You know,
isn't that just absolutely wild?
Yeah, we're in the upside down world at many turns in our driving down the street of happy destiny. It's crazy. Again, I never thought I'd see. Well, you know, I want to just say this real years ago when the Gulf War happened, and you must have been little teeny when that happened the first time. I couldn't believe how people were celebrating that, and all, but you know, the good thing out of the whole deal was they were celebrating also our military, which my experience prior to that was the Vietnam War, and you know, the Vietnam War was a total cluster, and protesting and students, and President Johnson didn't run again, and just 1968 was crazy. Democratic convention. I was, you know, I always talk to when Wendy and I talk about how crazy like it was during George Floyd or the pandemic. And I was like, well, nothing was crazier than 1968. You know, you had Martin Luther King killed, assassinated, Bobby Kennedy assassinated, the convention, the war was raging in Vietnam, and people were moving to Canada to not be drafted, because that war too, Haley, was you could be drafted if you were not in college, and if you said you were homosexual, they wouldn't draft you either. But that's a class war if you're going to college and you're just drafting people that aren't into college. It's like, what the?
Yeah, and I think, you know, it just reminds me of all the protesting and stuff at the college campuses that took place, you know, within the past couple months all around Turtle Island for, you know, for Palestine and to cease fire. And it's just, you know, we look back at these important dates and all of these things that, you know, luckily were ended, such as slavery. I mean, you look back at the dates and it really didn't happen all this long ago. So it's amazing to see how far we've come, but yet still need to go a long ways.
Yeah, definitely. And it's we just got to keep on talking and talking in a good way.
Yep.
You know, about things that that matter to us, and steady as she goes. I just don't believe a lot of the things that are going on in mass media, and when they talk about how close things are, we definitely need to be vigilant. But, you know, in order for the press to work and to make money, they have to say things are closer than they are. They have to give Trump, normalize everything that he's saying. And it's crazy. It's totally crazy. Again, it's funny. I've joked with a couple of our guests over the year. It's that, there was a guy running for president, and there was a picture of him on a boat with somebody, you know, taking a picture with him that wasn't his wife. And that was the end of his presidency. Wow. You know, that's how the moral compass in a sense has really changed. And, you know, this fake billionaire that was a TV star has people really, really engaged, and it's scary because it's not a religious war. It's people about power, and people think they're losing power. They're going to jump on,
power and money.
Yeah, but they're going to jump on the ship. You know, it's like Trump's for 1% of the people, if that, and just the rich people. But they don't seem to care or understand that because they feel like they're losing power. So. it's a weird world we live in, but you know, vote early and take your friends to the polls and
learn the correct history.
Yeah. Well, and I think we preach to the choir here on Native Roots Radio. It's just that I feel like there's so much down news that I'd like to snap odd and say, hey, we outnumber them. We beat them by 8 million votes last time and 3 million the other time with Hillary. And we just need to engage and keep our people moving, because there's not going to be any change that we'd like as progressive people if we don't have people in office that can move the dial. And definitely Trump and all those Trumpsters aren't going to be doing that.
No.
No, exactly.
That's all I got to say about those Trumpers. It's right just on. Nothing.
Well, yeah. So I didn't mean to get dark there, because we like to keep things positive here, too. And we have Bob Blake coming on later in the show. And Haley, you got a few things. I want to say this is that. If you want to meet Haley in person, she's going to be at the Four Sisters Market at running Native Roots Trading Post.
Yeah, come out and get some t-shirts. We have hats, hoodies,
books.
What's your favorite t-shirt that we currently have? I got to say mine's probably the Purple Rain Dancer one.
Yeah, I designed that one, and I appreciate that. And I like the one that looks like Pink Floyd. It's on a black t-shirt, and it's instead mm-hmm. of it has a teepee right in the middle of it, so you have to really kind of look at it. It's really subtle and very cool. That was our number one seller at the state fair.
It was, and I remember just being in community and like not even knowing some of these people, and they were just wearing, you know, those Pink Floyd teepee hats, and I'm like, hey, I know where you got that. That's Native Roots Trading Post.
We'll have those there.
Yes, we will.
Yeah, definitely. So, and what I like, too, is we'll have a couple books. People buy books, too, and we'll have American Indian Movement, Pictorial History. That's a really big book. And, of course, the new book, we'll have one or two of those. That the book about Minnesota's removal of Ho-Chunk. And then our uncle, Uncle Clyde's biography, Clyde was a good friend of ours. Clyde Belcourt, who founder of Native American movement,
American Indian movement.
And you know, and spent a lot of time with him in his last years of his life, and got to go to Wounded Knee with him and see him really in action, and we'll miss him. And but he has a book, and you know, he'd tell stories, and it was like right out of the book. So, you know, there was definitely consistency.
Yeah, Clyde's a great one. So the farmers markets, we're talking about the Four Sisters Farmers Market. It's filled with vendors. It happens every Thursday on 1414 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. This is a program put on by NACD, Native American Community Development Institute, one of our really amazing sponsors who does so much great work in the community. Some of the vendors that will be there tomorrow along the American Indian Cultural Corridor will be the Minneapolis Fire Department. So David Carson, one of our good friends and recognized community members, will be there, I'm sure. Native Youth Arts Collective, Standing Bear Designs, Indigenous Beauty, Make Voting a Tradition will be tabling. So always good to chat with those guys, and Jolene Jones. And then at the Four Sisters Farmers Market will also be doing an artist in residence with Natchez Bolio. So come celebrate the summer solstice. That's what this week's theme, which is really cool, the summer solstice. And they're going to be doing some art projects. So it'll be going on from 10 to 3 p.m., and that's every Thursday.
Absolutely. And come out and meet Haley, and I'll be around lurking around with my sunglasses on, so you may be able to catch me walking through.
Always. I feel like we try to get there almost every week.
Exactly. Hey, I just want to say too, a big shout out. One of my all-time favorite baseball players, Willie Mays, passed away. And I just want to bring that up because I'm a huge baseball fan. And, you know, Babe Ruth, I believe, was the greatest baseball player of all time, only because he pitched too. He could have been a Hall of Famer as a pitcher along with 714 home runs, but many people believe Willie Mays was the greatest player of all time because he was a five-tool player, throwing, running, catching, hitting.
Yeah, it's always hard when we lose, you know, those really amazing legends. I want to give a shout out to one of our good friends. Probably, you know, you've known her a lot longer. Madonna Thunderhawk's birthday was yesterday. Yeah, who is the matriarch warrior, our matriarch leader for Warrior Women's Project. And we actually just had her on last month. So if you want to hear part of that interview with Madonna Thunderhawk, that would be from May 20th.
Yeah. And, you know, like I was talking about Willie Mays and Madonna's getting up there in years, too. Like I always joke that I saw her when she was 79 years old on a horse at Wounded Knee. And I was just going, what the heck?
Yeah, you know, just amazing, amazing woman.
I'm 63 and I don't want to even get on a bike because I don't know what's going to happen, let alone a human horse.
Right. I know. And we have birthdays coming up in our family, too. So a big Ho Chani Hump, Que Besque, happy birthday to our relatives, my brother and your twin daughters, Jelaine and Jaleesa.
Yes, their birthdays are coming up, too. Definitely really excited. And we have grandchildren coming, so really, really pumped up for that. And I got to clean that office out, Haley. You got to come over and help me. I'll pay you.
I could do that. anything for those, you know, anything for those grandkids. And I'm so excited to be an auntie.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and it takes a village too. And so we'll be definitely, checking out and hanging out and. Yeah. I plan on doing a lot of singing to the new twins.
Yeah, do you think they'll like that?
Well, I have perfect pitch, so everybody likes that, Haley.
Okay, I believe you. He's telling the truth, you guys.
Yeah. Well, cool. Hey, we got Bob Blake up next. And,
yes, we do.
We love talking to him, and it's a lot of positive energy right there. So, hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio's what day is it? Wednesday. Wednesday's edition of I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
Attention transit customers. On Saturday, June 15th, Metro Transit will make changes to transit service within your community. As we do each quarter, we review our resources and ridership trends. These service changes continue our ongoing work to best serve customers throughout our system with our given resources. A summary of the upcoming service changes and a preview of the updated schedules are available now at metrotransit.org. Again, that's at metrotransit.org.
As we emerge from the shadows of the pandemic, let us celebrate our resilience and embrace the path to a brighter future. While the COVID-19 emergency declaration may be over, our commitment to safety remains stronger than ever. We invite you to stand tall and protect what matters most, our health and the well-being of our loved ones and elders. The power to keep our community safe lies within each one of us. It's important to remember the basics when you're with someone who might be at risk of COVID complications. Wear your mask, wash your hands often, and take an at-home COVID test if you have any symptoms. We are a strong and interconnected community, and together we'll emerge from this challenge stronger than ever. Stay safe, stay healthy, and keep the spirit of our Native American culture thriving. Find more tips on continuing to be safe at health.state.mn.us. That's health.state.mn.us.
This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
Hi, I'm Chuck Manette, owner of Native Concrete and Masonry. With concrete and masonry adding substantial value to your home, it's always a great idea to repair your sidewalks or just add a beautiful new patio. Cracks or heaving in your sidewalks due to tree roots can be dangerous. Native Concrete and Masonry has helped clients across the metro to make their outdoor space safer and helped increase the value to their homes. For patios, sidewalks, driveways, or garage slabs, go to nativeconcretemasonry.com.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more.
Tune in to Minneapolis Air on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl.
Howl.
Hey, we have our friend Bob Blake with the Solar Bear, with the Solar News, and also CEO of nonprofit Native Sun. Good to see you, Bob.
Good to see all of you. Robert, I've got some really cool news here for the state of Minnesota. It looks like this license plate for solar, for Pollard. Okay, so there's a Pollard Nader Friendly Solar Act. And what's going to be a part of this is solar panels are on top of these pollinator friendly like solar farms. You know, you would see all the solar panels out there in the field. Okay. Mm-hmm. Underneath those solar panels is like pollinator friendly, like, plants, right? Mm-hmm. That are good for the bees. Here's the thing, everyone listening to the show right now. The bees love solar because the solar heats up. And then they can, like, you know, go and create their beehives and, you know, do their stuff. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What bees do. But the point is that the panels are above these pollinator friendly, like, prairies. Yeah. And then the bees can go out there, you know, create more pollinator friendly plants for us. So, you know, we can breathe oxygen and stuff like that. I mean, I don't know.
And eat fruit.
You know, yeah. We could live as human beings.
Right.
So the bees really love solar. Now, get this. The state of Minnesota is going to come out with a license plate now that contributes X amount of dollars, folks, that you now can put on the back of your – or you can put on your vehicle as your license plate. And it's just like the other kind of habitat for Minnesota at license plate. You know, there's X amount of dollars that go into these funds. But I think this is really smart because this supports, you know, the pollinator friendly habitat spaces for bees and such birds and it combines it with solar energy, which can produce clean energy for our community. So I really love this, and I think it's awesome. I know I'll be getting one of these license plates when they emerge.
Hey, Bob, can we get a t-shirt that says bees love solar and then like have a bee carrying a solar panel or something?
I think that would be a great idea. And you know where we should sell it at? The Native Roots Trading Post. That would be my opinion.
Yeah.
Where's my applause button there? Yeah.
Well, another thing happening, Robert, in the world of renewable energy, data centers. Data centers are going to be placed in the Northern Plains here. And this is looking like a great area for them because it's going to be cool, you know, when it's in the wintertime for them. And they require a lot of energy. But these companies, Microsoft, Google, and Apple, want to use renewable energy. So tribal nations out there, this is a great time, to sell power to these folks. But the other piece about this is just that this is just a great place for it. So just to let you know that that's going to be a really big issue coming in the future, and data centers are going to be placed. And there is the one down there by Prairie Island that's being put together right now from, I think it's Google or Microsoft are putting it down there in Red Wing.
That's cool. Yeah. That's big for whoever's has a empty building and they especially one of the nations, and put these in there and keep them cool and make some money.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think this is going to be really huge. And this was my idea, Robert, in getting the Tribal Energy Advisory Board piece of legislation passed in the state of Minnesota. So, you know, this can act as an advocate for a lot of what's going to be happening here in the future. That was Bob Blake's big idea here, you know, to have this advocacy piece at the state legislation, at the state, so they could advocate on behalf of tribes, or, you know, transmission building, data centers. You know, I mean, we know we have the Public Utilities Commission, but we really do need a Tribal Utilities Commission after all these tribes start creating their own utilities, and this could be that voice. So try to think ahead, you know, that's the concept, because you're seeing all these things happen. And some other news, Robert, 96 degrees today. It's going to get hotter in Bangor, Maine. This is like Bangor, Maine, Robert, hit 96 today. Yeah, that's way up there to the northeast side there. So they have like a heat dome over them right now. New York, Robert, I know you go out to New York a lot with Wendy.
Yep.
And so there's a big heat dome over that area. But that's crazy. So they broke their all-time record today. So folks, and there's some wildfires that are happening out on the West Coast. You know, we really need to take climate change serious.
Definitely. And they were saying that, Robert, that up north, northern, northeast of the United States with that dome, that's the hottest it's ever been recorded in June. And it's right off the ocean. So I think it's way up there just forever.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, so, I mean, you know, we really need to get on renewable energy to reduce our carbon footprint. And this is by getting renewable energy, doing what Solar Bear has been talking about, Robert, for the last 5-6 years. We've been doing this, Robert, together.
Yeah.
Screaming from the top of the mountain, but we really need to do this. And yes, the Solar Bear will be up at the Red Lake Power during 4th of July weekend. We will have the Mustang Mach-E out there for everybody to check out. We'll have giveaways, Robert, Native Sun hats, Native Sun swag, and then we're going to be raffling off a few things for folks to participate in a drawing. But come and see the Native Sun Mustang Mach-E that we have, and then I think we got a meeting coming up with the Ho-Chunk Nation.
Let's hope so. Let's do it.
That's exciting.
Definitely. So Haley's going to be up there July 4th. Put my name in that drawing, Haley.
Yeah, right? I'll be up there with Representative Heather Keeler. So we'll be on the lookout to do some interviews with some really cool people. Maybe we can come spot you and talk to you, Bob. And I'll definitely wear my Solar Bear hat up there.
Yeah, and come by and get a free Native Sun hat. And I just put in the order today. So I hope they're done, everyone. But I will be speaking next week at the I will be the keynote speaker for the Wisconsin Tribal Climate Adaptation Concert at the Oneida Events Center or Hotel right there in Green Bay. So I will be the keynote speaker there next Wednesday or something. So come check me out if you all can. I will be there, be talking to everybody. So really excited to give that keynote speech and be a part of that wonderful event of all the tribal nations.
Right on. And what is that? Is that the end? Is that the Solar Bear with the solar news?
Oh, one last event. Next month I'll be at the Bezos Electric School Bus in Baltimore, Maryland. And we will be talking about getting electric school buses and really pushing that for our kids across the country. And then the month after that, I'll be doing a electric bike ride across the state of Minnesota with folks from Patagonia and Yale and Stanford. So let me know, Robert, if you want to be a part of that and do an interview. We'll get you interviewing all these folks.
Yeah, that sounds great. And
this is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Todd Albaugh.
Big show coming up. We have Pat Kreitlow, Trigvi Olsen, Matt Flynn is in talking about the U.S. Supreme Court, and General David May for the Wisconsin National Guard. Don't miss it.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
To everyone making time for life's best moments, let our team member Sandy share how Culver's is serving up celebration by the scoop.
Our rich and creamy fresh frozen custard makes every day a little bit sweeter. Enjoying a handcrafted treat with all the ooey gooey toppings you love, now that's worth celebrating.
Come to Culver's and let us serve you a sweet treat to make every moment count.
From Wisconsin with love,
welcome to Delicious.
Culver's, 8th Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.